Welcome to the Chillicothe News Hour on VoiceCorps. I'm your reader, Mark Hilton. Reading headlines and stories from the Chillicothe Gazette newspaper, part of the USA Today network of newspapers across the state of Ohio. Our first headline is from Wednesday, June the 3rd. A new place to buy local products opens, by Shelby Reeves of the Chillicothe Gazette. Shoppers in downtown Chillicothe now have a new way to easily find healthy products made locally. The recently opened Foster Farmstead Marketplace sells a variety of food, spices, hygiene products, and more that make it easier for people to live a clean lifestyle. When owner Crystal Foster first started looking into making her house healthier almost 10 years ago, she said it was hard to find foods made locally that had a limited number of ingredients. And with this new store, she aims to make the transition easier for the community. Our main mission is to help the community eat healthy, said Foster. Shelves at the store are filled with healthy and locally made products, including peanut butter, jam, bread, sauces, herbs, and more. The shop even sells meat and dairy products from local farms. We try to provide unique things that people can't find at a regular grocery store, said Foster. In addition to introducing shoppers to a healthier lifestyle, the store also aims to help reduce the amount of plastic that is being used for packaging. Refillable bags of flour, tea, spices, and more allow shoppers to get the exact amount of the product they need. And this not only helps reduce waste, but also saves customers money. You can visit the Foster Farmstead Marketplace store at its location at 14 West Water Street in Chillicothe. Our next headline is from a news release to the Gazette from the Ohio Department of Transportation and written by Jane Imbody, reporter assisted by artificial intelligence. Headline: Chillicothe intersection to become an all-way stop. The intersection of State Route 772 and Blaine Highway in Chillicothe will be converted to an all-way stop. The Department of Transportation will begin work on the conversion on the week of June 15th. The intersection currently operates as a two-way stop, requiring only traffic on Blaine Highway to stop before entering or crossing State Route 772, and the change aims to improve safety at the intersection. A safety study conducted in 2025 found that 15 automobile crashes at the intersection between 2020 and 2025. Of those, 8 were angled crashes, which often occur when drivers fail to yield or stop properly. To address these concerns, ODOT will install all-way stop controls. Motorists will be alerted to the changes through signage posted along 772 and Blaine Highway. The Ohio Department of Transportation will continue to monitor the intersection to ensure that the new stop controls are effective. Other states have seen positive results from similar safety measures, and since 2018, North Carolina has converted over 500 intersections from two-way to an all-way stop control. An analysis of 348 of these locations showed a 100% reduction in fatal crashes and a 95% reduction in serious injury crashes. Delaware reported similar outcomes, according to the announcement. In Ohio, 77 intersections have been selected for conversion to all-way stops over the next 2 years, and these locations were chosen based on crash data indicating that the most common types of crashes resulted from a failure to stop or yield to cross traffic that was not required to stop. Our next headline, Fairfield Hospital and Adena Eye Affiliation, by Samantha Hendrickson of the Columbus Dispatch, USA Today Network. Chillicothe-based Adena Health and Fairfield Medical Center are exploring a partnership almost 2 years after the independent Lancaster Health System sought the same with Healthcare Goliath Ohio Health. The two smaller, primarily rural health systems announced June 1st that they had signed a non-binding letter of intent to see if a formal affiliation will benefit them both. Fairfield Medical Center has been seeking this kind of partnership since at least 2024. In an email obtained by the Dispatch in September of 2024, John R. Genoso, Jr., Chief Executive Officer of the Fairfield Medical Center, told the medical center's employees that while the hospital system has been successful in righting the ship in the aftermath of the COVID-19 pandemic, it was not enough to continue on its own. The health system, he said in a letter, recognized a growing and near immediate need to expand future operations to meet the needs of both a growing and an aging population. In 2024, Ohio Health appeared to be the best candidate and was in talks to acquire Fairfield Medical Center until November of 2025. The possible merger was endorsed by both the Fairfield Medical Center Board and the Ohio Health Board. In a statement to the Dispatch, a spokesperson for Ohio Health said on June 1st that regulatory hurdles impeded the partnership between them and Fairfield Medical Center, but that they fully supported Fairfield's decision to move forward with another partner and remain appreciative of their collaboration. We wish them and their community continued success and remain committed to our mission of providing health care services close to home for patients across the state. The Fairfield Medical Center said in a June 1st statement that both it and the Adena Health Medical Centers recognize the importance of nurturing strong regional networks, and this exploration reflected their shared commitment to expanding services and strengthening access to local high-quality care. Fairfield Medical Center has proudly served this community for more than 110 years with excellence and compassion, and selecting a strong strategic partner is vital to our next 100 years. We believe that this relationship can create an exciting opportunity to build on an already strong foundation. Adena Health is pleased to be engaging in conversations with Fairfield Medical Center as we continue to focus on meeting the needs of rural communities. The two health systems will continue to operate independently while the agreement undergoes internal review. It must also gain approval from the Federal Trade Commission and the United States Department of Justice. Our next headline, a news release to the Chillicothe Gazette by the U.S. Paper Mill Company. Chillicothe plant approved to produce gloves for TSA officers, by Jane Imbody, reporter, assisted by artificial intelligence. Workers in Chillicothe are now producing nitrile gloves approved for use by the Transportation Security Administration officers. The gloves are manufactured by U.S. Paper Mill, a startup operating in the former Pixel Specialty Solutions plant in downtown Chillicothe. The approval means that U.S. Paper Mill, through U.S. Medical Glove, can be a supplier to the Central Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired, which packages and distributes gloves for TSA officers under a federal contract. Approximately 150 Ohio workers have been involved in making the gloves. U.S. Paper Mill retrofitted part of the Chillicothe facility with American-made machinery to establish 15 production lines, with 4 more in fabrication and another 10 planned for surgical and medical-grade gloves. The company has supply and licensing agreement with U.S. Medical Glove Company, which was notified May 15th that the gloves had passed the TSA quality and safety test. We are excited by the notification that we have achieved TSA approval, said Bob Stanley, Chief Financial Officer of U.S. Paper Mill. We have been working hard preparing for this important step in revitalizing the facility to bring jobs back to our community. We are extremely proud to know that the gloves we are making right here in Chillicothe will be used to protect federal security workers. The initiative is part of a broader effort to produce domestically sourced nitrile gloves, which are essential for maintaining safety in various sectors, including transportation and healthcare. U.S. Paper Mill acquired the Chillicothe facility in October. Our next headline is from a news release to the Lancaster Eagle Gazette, USA Today Network, and written by Jane Embody, reporter assisted by artificial intelligence. Headline: Red Cross makes a plea for blood donors. The American Red Cross is urging people to donate blood and platelets, as scheduled donations have dropped sharply in recent weeks, raising concerns about the nation's blood supply. Donors of all blood types are needed, according to a community announcement, as the supply has fallen by several thousand units in just a week. The decline comes as the country enters trauma season, the period between Memorial Day and Labor Day, when severe injuries from car accidents, ATV crashes, sports-related injuries, and other summer activities increase. The American Automobile Association reports that fatal crashes involving teen drivers rise by 30% during this time, often called the 100 deadliest days. A single person injured in a serious car accident can require up to 100 units of blood. For a person suffering from severe bleeding and the emergency medical responders caring for them, stopping the bleeding and stabilizing them is a race against an unforgiving clock, said Dr. Emily Coberly, medical director for the Red Cross. Every minute matters. For each minute that passes without blood transfusion, the risk of death increases by 11% for patients suffering from hemorrhagic shock. And that's why having a readily available blood supply is critical. The drop in scheduled donations is especially concerning during a season when blood collection can be difficult due to end-of-year school activities, travel, school breaks, severe weather, and heat that can disrupt blood drives. Large-scale sporting events in the coming months can also add pressure to the blood supply. Every unit of life-saving blood on an ambulance, emergency medical helicopter, or in a hospital didn't get there by accident. It is there because someone rolled up their sleeve to give blood, said Coberly. Those who donate blood between June 1st and June 28th will receive a $15 electronic gift card to a merchant of their choice and be automatically entered for a chance to win one of two $7,500 gift cards. Appointments can be made at the Red Cross by calling 1-800-RED-CROSS or by using the Red Cross Blood Donor Internet application. To donate, individuals must be at least 17 years old, age 16 in Ohio with parental consent, must weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in generally good health. High school students and other donors 18 years of age and younger also have to meet certain height and weight requirements. Donors can save time by using something called Rapid Pass to complete their pre-donation reading and health history questionnaire over the internet on the day of their donation before arriving at the blood drive. You're listening to the Chillicothe News Hour on VoiceCore. I'm your reader, Mark Hilton, reading headlines and stories from the Chillicothe Gazette newspaper, part of the USA Today network of newspapers across the state of Ohio. Our first headline is from June the 4th, Thursday. Headline, Elevate IV Hydration moves to new Chillicothe storefront by Shelby Reeves of the Chillicothe Gazette. After opening in 2022, Elevate IV Hydration and Aesthetics has expanded to a new building offering more space to clients and providers. Luckily, the business did not move far and will still be located in downtown Chillicothe. Tiffany Rupert said Elevate started as her renting a room from another business before moving into a new shop, where they stayed for 3 years. This latest move not only gives the 8 providers currently in the business more room, but it also gives Rupert space to grow. Elevate IV Hydration and Aesthetics is a medical spa that offers wellness services to help customers feel better in their bodies by working on the inside and the outside. Services include wrinkle relaxers, micro-needling, facials, vitamin therapy, and more. Nurse practitioner Jessica Smith said that when a new client comes in addition to listening how they are feeling and what they want to change, the business can run a blood test to check if the individual needs any specific hormone treatments. "We want to focus on the whole person," said Rupert. President of the Chillicothe Ross Chamber of Commerce, Mike Throne, called Elevate unique and praised the providers for delivering quality customer service that keeps customers coming back. You can now find Elevate IV Hydration and Aesthetics at 20 East 2nd Street in Chillicothe. Also from Thursday, June the 4th, headline, New Surgery Suite Helps Veterinarian Students to Learn by Shelby Reeves of the Chillicothe Gazette. The Ross County Humane Society worked for years to raise the money and build its new facility. Now that the staff is in, the organization is wasting no time putting the space to use. Recently, 4 veterinary students had the chance to use the new on-site surgery suite thanks to the Rascal Veterinary Summer Mentorship Program. In partnership with the Rascal Unit led by Dr. Michelle Gonzalez. And this program allows students to get hands-on experience caring for animals. It's important for them to learn so that when they are graduated, they are confident. As the first team to use the surgery suite, Gonzalez said having the space needed to properly process multiple animals is extremely helpful. The team has spayed and neutered over 60 animals while in Ross County, and some belong to community members and some were from the shelter. In the surgery room, in my opinion, is something every shelter should have. Peer advisor Abigail Sunseer went through this program last year and has returned to help current students. She said this program shows a different side to veterinary care that students don't always see in school. It has helped her get more confident in working with multiple animals and other veterinary staff. The Rascal unit makes regular stops in Ross County, offering low-cost spay and neuter options. The unit also helps fix shelter animals to combat the growing unwanted animal problem. This is a really special moment for us, said Jen Thomas, executive director of the Ross County Humane Society. Not only are we finally able to begin utilizing our new surgery suite, but the first surgeries being performed in that space are directly tied to education, mentorship, and increasing access to veterinary care in our community. And that feels very fitting for what we hoped this building would become. Our next headline is a news release to the Gazette from the Union Scioto Pickaway Ross Career and Technology Center. Headline, Local FFA Chapter Celebrates Year of Student Success, by Jane Imbedi, reporter assisted by Artificial Intelligence. A year of achievements and community partnerships was celebrated at the Union Scioto Pickaway Ross Career Technology Center, Future Farmers of America Chapter's second annual banquet. Three individuals were honored with the honorary chapter degree for their support of the chapter, according to the community announcement. And the honorees were Chris Clark, Brad Batson, and Jenny Domo. Clark, Union Scioto High School's secretary, was recognized for her assistance to the Future Farmers of America chapter and support of greenhouse operations. Batson was acknowledged for his involvement in testing support and media assistance. Domo was honored for her role in strengthening agricultural education through partnerships with the Elementary Scopes program. 20 members received the chapter FFA degree, having completed two agricultural education courses developed by Supervised Agriculture Experience and fulfilled community leadership hour requirements. 60 first-year members received Green Hand degrees after completing their Green Hand checklist, establishing an SAE, and becoming actively involved in FFA activities. The chapter also recognized its career development event team members, the Green Hand quiz team, consisting of Mackenzie Welch, Kins Gerhardt, Bristol Puckett, and Savannah Steinbrook, and they placed third overall in the state, bringing home the chapter's first ever FFA banner. The 2026-2027 Union Scioto officer team was inducted during the banquet. And the team includes President Taylor Hauser, First Vice President of Building Communities Mariah Annan, Vice President of Strengthening Agriculture Kins Gerhardt, Vice President of Growing Leaders Riley Mead, and Secretary Mackenzie Welch, Treasurer Conley Haynes, Reporter Erica Beam, and Sentinel Peyton Gerken, Historian Amelia Schultz, and Chaplain Abigail Watson. One of the highlights of the past year was the chapter's annual kindergarten day, led by Mariah Annan. Future Farmers of America members served as mentors and instructors, guiding more than 160 kindergarten students through hands-on learning stations focused on animal science, plant science, agricultural equipment, and general agriculture science. Planning is already underway for the 2026-2027 program of activities. Our next headline is also a news release to the Gazette from Ross County Special Olympics and written by Jane Embody, reporter assisted by artificial intelligence. Headline, Ross County Athletes Shine at Special Olympic Games. The Ross County Special Olympics Trailblazers brought home a slew of medals from the 2026 Special Olympics Ohio State Summer Games. The event, which took place May 29th through the 31st, is the largest annual competition for Special Olympics Ohio, and it brings together athletes from across the state to compete in various sports while promoting inclusion and achievement. This year, Ross County sent 43 athletes to compete in athletics, bowling, and powerlifting. Ross County athlete Dion Ford was selected as a torchbearer to carry the flame of hope into the opening ceremony at Ohio Stadium. Ford's selection is a tremendous honor and a proud moment for the entire Ross County delegation, as he represents not only the Trailblazers, but all Special Olympics athletes who strive to lead through courage and determination, said Amy Beeler, superintendent of the Ross County Board of Developmental Disabilities and the Pioneer Center. Jermaine J.J. Barnard became the first athlete in Ross County Special Olympics history to compete in the pentathlon, one of the most demanding events in track and field. Barnard earned a silver medal. Ross County bowlers earned multiple medals and competed among the top athletes in the state, while the powerlifting team brought home silver and bronze medals. The athletics team collected numerous gold, silver, and bronze medals, and one of the standout performances came from the Ross County 4x100-meter relay team, which earned second place in its division, a result that could place the team among the top 10 relay teams in Ohio. We are incredibly proud of every athlete who represented Ross County this weekend, said Courtney Davis. And she is the Special Project and Special Olympics Director for the Ross County Board of Developmental Disabilities and the Pioneer Center. Our athletes demonstrated determination in every event, and that is what we ask of them. Whether they returned home with a medal or a personal best, each athlete is an inspiration to all. Beyond the medals, athletes enjoyed many of the traditions that make state summer games special, including Olympic Village activities, swimming with teammates, shared medals, opening ceremonies, and the athlete dance. The Ross County Special Olympics program extended its gratitude to the coaches, volunteers, families, sponsors, and community supporters who make opportunities like the state summer games possible. You're listening to the Chillicothe News Hour on VoiceCorps. I'm your reader, Mark Hilton, reading headlines and stories from the Chillicothe Gazette newspaper, part of the USA Today network of newspapers across the state of Ohio. Our next headline is from Friday, June the 5th. May Permit Report Shows Work Done on the Courthouse, by Shelby Reeves of the Chillicothe Gazette. Throughout the month of May, roofers stayed busy in Ross and surrounding counties with projects at the Ross County Courthouse and the Pickaway Ross Career and Technology Center. These construction projects and more are seen in the monthly permit report from the Ross County Building Department, which showed 38 records for 2026. The roofing project on the courthouse consisted of removing the existing roof layers down to the substrate and building new assemblies where needed. Work at the vocational school was similar, with a permit being issued for removal and replacement of roof assemblies on school buildings. Other projects at schools included an auditorium audio-visual refresh at McLean High School in Greenfield. In Chillicothe, the Corner Market also received conditional approval for an interior renovation. In Pike County, work continues on Atomic Credit Union's new corporate office building, with conditional approval for sprinklers being issued. The credit union also received conditional approval for the placement of engineered fill-to-design elevations for the construction of a new credit union office in Waverly, with a drive-through and parking area, and also for storm drainage in the parking area. Also in Waverly, the Fraternal Order of Eagles received a permit for a patio addition to their lodge building. Also, headline, Popular Barbershop Expands and Moves by Shelby Reeves of the Chillicothe Gazette. Every year, businesses open and close, grow and shrink based on the actions of customers. And in the last 3 years, customers couldn't have been better to Twisted Clippers, which recently moved to a larger location thanks to all the support they have received. In 2023, the barbershop opened in Chillicothe, and since then, owner Taylor Harris says business has only grown. The former shop housed 4 stations and was cramped. Now the business can fit 8 stations with plenty of room for a waiting area, a shampooing station, and more. The business is best known for its tune-up service, which includes a haircut, beard trim, cheek shave, hair wash, beard detox, and more. Harris said customers can expect the same quality of work in a better space because of this move. You can now visit Twisted Clippers at its new location at 912 East Main Street in Chillicothe. Our next headline from Sunday, June the 7th. Always watching. Ross County law enforcement using artificial intelligence license plate readers by Shelby Reeves of the Chillicothe Gazette. The idea that law enforcement is always watching is a relief to some. It makes them feel safer in the community. Others, however, feel differently about being constantly watched, especially when it comes to using AI cameras to track vehicles in the area. The company Flock Safety describes itself as a public safety technology company that connects audio, video, and investigative systems. And these license plate readers capture information about vehicles as they pass through and are able to identify vehicle characteristics and license plate numbers. Authorized users, like law enforcement, are then able to search through this data. On its website, Flock states that the company maintains clear privacy safeguards, but organizations like one called DFlock, a group against these readers, state that this is still a threat to personal privacy. The DFLOC organization also hosts a map where citizens can report license plate readers in their area. As of May 17th of 2026, the map shows 14 cameras in Chillicothe. According to Captain Michael Short, the Chillicothe Police Department currently has 11 FLOC license plate reader cameras installed around the city, with another being added in the future. These cameras have had a positive impact on public safety, assisting officers in both proactive and investigative work. Short said the cameras are not used for traffic enforcement and do not issue citations for speeding or red light violations. The department uses the cameras to help recover stolen vehicles, identify vehicles that flee crash scenes, find missing or suicidal people, and more. Since an estimated 70% of crimes involve the use of a vehicle, this tool is proving to be an invaluable asset to our department and the community, wrote Short. Major Michael Preston with the Ross County Sheriff's Office states that the office does not maintain any cameras and that they are all with the United States 23 Major Crimes Task Force. The task force is a multi-jurisdictional law enforcement group that serves the citizens of Ross, Fayette, Highland, and Hocking counties. The Ross County Sheriff's Office and the Chillicothe Police Department are participating agencies. Other Ohio municipalities have questioned the use of the data that the cameras collect in terms of it being used for immigration enforcement. The Columbus Dispatch reported that at least one Columbus City Council member is requesting that the Division of Police audit its flock safety cameras to make sure the data collected is not being used in this way. Cleveland and Dayton officials revealed last month that their data was appearing in immigration-related searches of flock data by other law enforcement agencies, and Dayton has suspended its flock program and put bags over the cameras, according to the Columbus Dispatch. Our next headline from Monday, June the 8th, Burton E. Stevenson Fund awards $80,000 in grants. A news release to the Gazette from the Burton E. Stevenson Fund and written by Jane Embody, reporter assisted by artificial intelligence. The Burton E. Stevenson Fund is distributing $80,000 in grants to 11 organizations serving underprivileged youth in Ross County, according to this announcement. The funding supports programs ranging from literacy and mentoring to food access and recreational activities for children and families across the country. Stevenson established the fund with the focus on improving opportunities for young people facing economic hardship. Several grants focus on education and academic enrichment. The Altrusa Club of Chillicothe, Ohio Foundation received $10,000 to purchase and distribute children's books to students in 8 public schools. Friends of the Chillicothe Ross County Public Library was awarded $3,600 for its Adventure Pass program, which gives families access to local arts and historic sites. Wellity Education is said to use a $6,000 grant to train Chillicothe Public Schools counselors and staff in mindfulness strategies aimed at supporting students' social, emotional development. Other funding addresses basic needs for families. The Assistance House of Ross County will use its $10,000 award to provide shoes for children in low-income working families. United Way of Ross County received $5,000 to expand weekend food support for children experiencing food insecurity. Integrated Services for Behavioral Health Organization was awarded $5,900 to cover food and activity costs for a 12-week summer program serving at-risk youth. Youth development and recreational access are central to several grants, and the Community Recreational Council of Chillicothe received $10,000 to support programs at the Carver Community Center that are focused on child care and youth engagement. The YMCA of Chillicothe will use $10,000 to provide more than 300 youth memberships, primarily for low-income participants. Mighty Children's Museum received $2,000 to expand its Mighty Gives Back initiative, offering annual memberships to families based on financial need. Mentorship programming is also included. Paper City Mentoring Project Incorporated was awarded $7,500 to continue its one-to-one mentoring work with at-risk teens. Easter Seals Central and Southeast Ohio received $10,000 to support supplies and administrative costs for its Discovery Garden Family Playgroup, a year-long program for families. Our next headline, Chillicothe Menards holds donations for food pantry, by Destiny Torres of the Chillicothe Gazette. The Chillicothe Menards Home Improvement Store has begun to serve as a drop site for a local food pantry during the months of June and July. The store offers a variety of non-perishable food items that can be donated to the food pantries, including boxes of cereal and cans of soup. A large collection box can be found near the exit doors in which to place donations. Our next headline is from Tuesday, June the 9th. Vacuum Sale and Repair Store returns to Chillicothe, by Shelby Reeves of the Chillicothe Gazette, Dateline Chillicothe. After closing the store on High Street in 2022, after 25 years in town, Scioto Valley Sweepers is back in town, and this time serving people out of the Central Center Shopping Plaza. Owner Bruce Brenning calls the store old school, as it specializes in selling and repairing quality vacuum sweepers that can last a lifetime. Brenning said he won't sell an appliance that he can't get parts for which to fix, so that customers know they can always come back if there is an issue. It's all stuff that actually lasts, and if it needs to be repaired, then I can fix it, said Brenning of the items in his store. The business also does vacuum maintenance for commercial and private customers who want to keep their vacuum running like new for years. Breening has been in the vacuum sweeper business for over 25 years and currently owns shops in Jackson and Chillicothe. He said he is happy to be back in town serving customers in the area. You can visit Scioto Valley Sweepers at number 10 Central Center Shopping Plaza in Chillicothe. Hours for the store are 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Also from Tuesday, June the 9th, headline. A news release to the Gazette from the Robert E. and Genevieve B. Schaefer Fund, and written by Jane Embody, reporter assisted by artificial intelligence. Ross County nonprofits awarded more than $238,000 in grants. A Ross County fund distributed more than $238,000 to 17 local organizations to support community programs and services. The Robert E. and Genevieve B. Schaefer Fund awarded a total of $238,700 in grants aimed at cultural enrichment, economic development, and human welfare initiatives across the county. The funding reaches nonprofits focused on education, housing, health care, and youth programs. The largest single grant, $50,000, was awarded to the Ross County Humane Society to help build a new animal welfare facility. Another major award of $35,000 went to the Scioto Valley Youth League softball program to replace field fencing and improve spectator safety. Several organizations received $20,000 each, including the Chillicothe Ross Community Foundation for its Holiday Pop Spectacular featuring the Columbus Symphony Orchestra and the Ross County Community Action Commission to support staffing at its Community Resource Center. Other grants target housing and basic needs. Heaven's Acres Respite received $10,000 to support construction of tiny homes for residents experiencing homelessness, while Scioto Valley Habitat for Humanity will use $10,000 for materials or labor to build a home in the county. Programs benefiting youth and families make up a significant portion of the awards. Paper City Mentoring Project will use $10,000 to create an immersive educational experience for 20 high school students. Project School Tools received $10,000 to provide supplies for students in need. The United Way of Ross County received $4,200 to help sustain the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, locally expanding access to books for children. Health-related initiatives also received funding. The National Church Residences Foundation was awarded $10,000 to provide hospice care support to low-income residents, while the National Society to Prevent Blindness, Ohio affiliate, received $5,000 for vision care services for underserved residents. The American Red Cross South Central Ohio chapter will use $7,500 to bolster disaster relief and preparedness efforts in the area. Additional grants include $27,000 for the Mighty Children's Museum to install a lift, improving accessibility, and $7,000 to Flying Horse Farms to send two Ross County residents to summer camp. Easter Seals Central and Southeast Ohio also received $5,000 to support a family play group program, and Ross County Young Life was awarded $5,000 to strengthen its middle school outreach initiative. Elizabeth's Hope Pregnancy Resources will use a $3,000 grant to purchase materials for families participating in a parenting mentorship program. The awards reflect the fund's mission to invest in local programs that enhance quality of life and expand opportunity throughout Ross County, according to this announcement. Our next headline from Wednesday, June the 10th. VA launches new record system. What this means, by Shelby Reeves of the Chillicothe Gazette. The Chillicothe Veterans Administration recently received a visit from the Deputy Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Dr. Paul Lawrence, who announced that the new federal electronic health record system was going live. This new system which has been in the works for years, will streamline health records for service members and veterans, according to the VA. Chillicothe is one of the first 20 facilities to use this system, but all VA medical facilities are expected to go live with the system by 2031. Our vision is world-class care for our veterans, and we need excellent tools to do that, said Lawrence. By combining all of a service member's medical history into an easy-to-read system, VA providers all over the country can see a patient's history and test results without waiting for records to be transferred. And this means that patients will spend less of their appointment time recapping their health issues, and providers will spend less time looking at a screen. We are very excited, said Lawrence, of the change. Facilities in Michigan and Ohio have already launched the new system. Lawrence said providers at those facilities are loving the program and saying it makes their jobs easier. Veterans have also commented on how the program makes it easier to contact providers and order prescriptions. Our next headline, Flavored Tobacco Fight Marches On, by Jesse Baumert, State Bureau, USA Today Network. A legal fight over whether Ohio cities can ban flavored tobacco could have sweeping consequences for how local leaders regulate everything from firearms to mobile homes. On June the 9th, the Ohio Supreme Court will listen to legal arguments about a lawsuit that strikes at the heart of municipalities' ability to govern themselves, a concept called home rule. In recent years, the cities of Columbus, Bexley, Grandview Heights, Worthington, and other cities banned the sale of flavored tobacco and nicotine products, including menthol cigarettes, vaporizing liquids, and chewing tobacco. Opponents of these products point to studies that show young people prefer fruit or candy-flavored electronic cigarettes, leading to an unhealthful habit. But Ohio legislators passed a state law to block these local bans and allow the sale of flavored tobacco products. And that change was set to take effect in 2024 against Governor Mike DeWine's wishes. The governor supports restrictions on flavored tobacco and has lobbied unsuccessfully for a statewide ban. 21 Ohio cities, including Cincinnati, are suing. And they argue that the Ohio Home Rule Amendment approved by voters in 1912 allows city leaders to set rules for their residents, including a ban on flavored tobacco. A local judge and appeals court sided with city leaders. Now the case heads to the Ohio Supreme Court, which will have the final word. The Ohio Constitution gives municipalities the authority to exercise all powers of local self-government and to adopt and enforce within their limits such local police, sanitary, and other similar regulations as are not in conflict with the general laws of the state. But determining whether local rules conflict with general state laws can be difficult. And those conflicts are piling up as Ohio's GOP-controlled legislature takes issue with rules set by the state's mostly Democratic city leaders. A 2002 Ohio Supreme Court decision created a four-pronged test to determine if local rules can trump state law. Under that test, Canton was allowed to restrict manufactured or mobile homes with its local zoning laws. Attorneys for Ohio's cities argued that the ban on flavored tobacco restrictions fails that four-pronged test. The state law limits locals' power without creating a general rule for Ohioans to follow. But Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost's office contends that the four-pronged test is flawed. Voters in 1912 and now would expect that Ohio lawmakers would have the power to limit cities' rules. This case has higher stakes for state and local leaders alike. Groups representing gun owners, businesses, grocers, and retail merchants want state lawmakers to have the power to pass uniform laws. Groups representing mayors and city attorneys argue that home rule is necessary to empower cities and villages to govern themselves in local matters without first needing state approval. 17 state and national public health organizations have asked the Ohio Supreme Court to uphold the ban on flavored tobacco. They say the regulation of tobacco products and sellers is necessary to protect their children. From Thursday, June the 11th, a news release to the Gazette. Headline: Friends of Serpent Mound host annual Solstice Festival. Written by Jane Embody, reporter assisted by artificial intelligence. A three-day celebration highlighting indigenous history, music, and Appalachian culture will return to Adams County as the Friends of Serpent Mound hosts their annual 17th Annual Summer Solstice Celebration Festival. The free public event takes place June 19th through June 21st at the Soaring Eagle Retreat at 351 Horner Chapel Road in Peebles, Ohio, with activities scheduled from 3 to 7 p.m. on June 19th and from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. on June 20th and June 21st. Organizers said the festival includes educational programs, live performances, hands-on workshops, and guided tours centered on the Serpent Mound site and its cultural significance. The retreat borders Serpent Mound Park, connected by a short walk along the Buckeye Trail. Parking at the festival site is free, while parking at the park costs $8. The Ohio Historical Society says the park will be closed June 19th and offer extended hours from 5:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. June 20th for solstice viewing. That's all for the Chillicothe News Hour. I'm your reader, Mark Hilton, and I thank you for listening and ask you to stay tuned for more programming on VoiceCore, your audio access to the world.